This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it. Every Sunday, we invite you to join us in listening to a series of inspirational programs featuring Dr. Ernest Holmes, noted author and spiritual leader in This Thing Called Life. Now, it is my pleasure to present Dr. Ernest Holmes.
Thank you, Bill. Friends, there is a power at the center of your being, so great, so wonderful, that it staggers the imagination even to try to think of it. It is the power of this thing called life. It is in everything and in everyone. To learn how to use this power is the greatest thing in life. Life has already provided everything needed for your happiness, your physical well-being, and your success. It has already placed the power to live at the center of your own being. It is this thing called life that we are talking about. Your life, my life, everyone's life.
Before Dr. Holmes discusses his subject for today, Pray and Prosper, let's listen to our guest artist, William Alvis.
Sweet hour of prayer. Hour of prayer, enfolded in thy love and care, of one who fills with love and light, the one who works with wondrous might. The light of truth is now revealed. I sing with joy, for I am healed. Man thinks this loving thought and feels the beauty Christ, the truth reveals. The man of silence is to me eternal joy and harmony.
Thank you, William Alvis. And now, Dr. Holmes.
Today, I am going to talk about how you can realize true prosperity. But first, you must know that the Spirit is your silent partner, a wise and a loving presence, ever ready to respond to you. The purpose of prayer and faith is to seek conscious union with this indwelling presence. And always your prayers will be as effective as your faith makes them. There is a law of mind that responds to your faith, and you need have no anxious thought concerning the operation of this law, for it will always respond. This is why Jesus said that it is done unto you as you believe. If you would pray and prosper, you must believe that the Spirit is both willing and able to make the gift. But since the Spirit can only give you what you take, and since this taking is a mental act, you must train your mind to believe and to accept. This is the secret of the power of prayer. Jesus gave us specific instructions about praying. He likened the divine Spirit to a heavenly Father, and he placed the kingdom of this Spirit here on earth at the center of our own being. Give us this day our daily bread. This is meant to include everything you will ever need, whether it be a house to live in, a suit of clothes to wear, or bread to eat, and butter to put on the bread. It includes, according to the words of Jesus, what things soever ye desire. You must, however, be certain that your desire harms no one. Prayer ties you to a power that is able, ready, and willing to fulfill every legitimate desire, to bring every good thing to you, to do for you even more abundantly than you have expected. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. This shifting of the burden is most important, for when one feels isolated, alone, and struggling against odds, he is not equal to the task before him. Life becomes a drudgery. But if one knows the burden is lifted and set upon the shoulders of the law of good, then power and speed come to hands and feet, while joy floods the imagination with anticipation. It is written that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word shadow is used because it suggests a protection, the refreshing coolness of the shadow of a rock in a desert place. The shadow of the Almighty is a place of peace. Since Spirit is everywhere present, it must be right where you are. The reflection of an image in a mirror is an exact likeness of the image that is held before the mirror. So the law of good reflects back to you a likeness of the images of your thought. Thus we are told that we reflect the glory of God. But too often we reflect the fear and limitation of man rather than the glory of God. Jesus told us to judge not according to appearance, but to judge righteously. If we judge only according to what is now transpiring, we shall perpetuate our old limitations. But if we judge righteously, that is, if we look to the power of good, we shall create new images of thought, which will reflect greater abundance. Prayer, then, is a mirror, reflecting the images of your thought through the law of good into your outward experience. What, then, are you reflecting? The glory of God or the confusion of man? Now, prayer does not concentrate or create a spiritual power. It is attention and not concentration, willingness and not will, for the Spirit never exerts the slightest effort. Spiritual communion is relaxing. There is neither stress nor strain in it. All the yesterdays of fear and failure are dropped from consciousness. Today, everything is filled with peace and joy. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Spirit has no burden, creates none, and enters into none. As Emerson said, "It is the finite alone that has wrought and suffered. The infinite lies stretched in smiling repose." Spiritual communion is letting go of all negation, a reaching out and up toward freedom. It is a calm inward sense of reality. There is no struggle, no tension, only peace. Since you are dealing with a power which can easily accomplish your desired good and give you even more abundantly than you are able to receive, there should be no sense of compulsion, but rather a relaxed attention and an active acceptance. Jesus tells us to take no anxious thought for the morrow. All of our tomorrows are still unborn. Every day should be a new creation, a world more blessed than yesterday. You are to take no anxious thought for tomorrow. This does not mean that you are to act in an irresponsible or chaotic manner. It means that you are to live this day in calm confidence of the future. Our lives should swing between prayer, meditation, and action. We used to pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Someone has suggested that we add to this beautiful evening prayer one for the new day. "Now I get me up to work. I pray the Lord I shall not shirk. If I should die before the night, I pray the Lord my work's done right." If God is in all events, then we should go forth gladly to meet them, not only in the stillness of the evening or the quiet of the midnight, but also in the rising tide of human endeavor. Wherever people meet together for prayer and for spiritual communion, a field of faith is created which reacts upon everyone who enters it. It is easy to break one twig, but if we bind many twigs together, they become unbreakable. And so it is with group consciousness. The individual faith of each member is strengthened through union with all the others. In union, there is strength. This is just as true in our mental life as it is in the body of our affairs. Always you should seek the companionship of those whose faith may be added to yours. Thought atmospheres are real enough. You sense them in the quiet of the cathedral or at shrines where countless thousands have gathered with uplifted faith. Thus it is that the power of one is multiplied through combining it with the power of others. This is not because the Spirit listens to many more than to just one, but because often many create a larger hope and a greater expectancy. They develop a real dynamic field of faith. The act of prayer arrives at a point of certainty when it accepts the gift even before it is made. Your request is made as to a friend who you know is both able and willing to respond. Therefore, the petition becomes a joyful recognition of the fact that before they call, I will answer. Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me, and I know that thou dost always hear me. These words of Jesus give us an example of prayer and of acceptance. It is the recognition of the Spirit as a friend and the acceptance that this friend acts in our behalf immediately and with power that brings an answer. Do we not pray for a harvest when we plant a seed? Are not seed time and harvests two ends of one law? Prayer and acceptance are two ways of recognizing the divine giving, which always says, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." Jesus plainly taught his followers that prayers would be answered when the one praying accepts the answer. The law of good operates on your belief at the level of your faith according to your recognition. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. This is the magic key to the storehouse of abundance. Your acceptance must be spontaneous as well as conscious. That is, the whole mind must accept. The whole being must respond. You must accept inwardly, outwardly, and completely. But it is not because of much speaking that you are heard. Rather, because of a deep, earnest, and prayerful acceptance. It is this divine communion. You should try to think out beforehand what words you are going to use. You do not need to do this. Your word should be the outcome of a deep inner conviction, which goes beyond all words, but which at the same time gives birth to them. Prayer is more than an intellectual thing. It is a thing of feeling, a creative act. Just as an artist feels beauty rather than sees it, so you feel the divine presence as warmth, color, and life, ever responding to you. Prayer is, in fact, both an art and a science. Scientifically, it has form. Artistically, it has color, feeling, and conviction. This feeling rises out of an inward awareness. There is something within you which knew reality long before your conscious intelligence was born. You can feel your way back to this original creative genius of the universe within you, the infinite artist whose creations are spread through all time and space. Spiritual communion enters into the joy of recognition, of acceptance, and anticipates that the divine abundance will provide a more lavish supply than you have ever conceived of or dreamed of. Spiritual communion places its bowl of acceptance under the ever-present outpouring horn of plenty, and it places its bowl right side up and not upside down. The Spirit can only give you what you take. And since this taking is an act of consciousness, you must be actively aware of the presence of your desire. You must know that the gift is made even before you see it, and you must receive this gift.
I know not how, nor when, nor why, I can but this on God rely. His truth, His love eternal flow. God is life. This is enough to know. I rest content whatever betide, for love and peace with me abide. I cannot hide thy footsteps go. God guides, this is enough to know. I know not when I shall forsake all sin and in His likeness wake, but to Christ's stature I shall grow. God reigns, this is enough to know. I know not why sometimes I fall, seem to forget that God is all. I grasp His outstretched arms, and lo, God is all. This is enough to
Dr. Holmes, have many listeners to this radio program written to you on the subject of prayer?
Yes, indeed they have, Bill. And here is a typical letter which I received from a woman who lives in Alameda, California. Suppose you read it to us.
The writer says, "Dear Dr. Holmes, I heard your message today for the first time, and it came at a time when I am very depressed and discouraged with life. I would like a copy of your radio talk sent to me to study and see if I can set myself right with God. My husband and I are of different religious faiths. Now he and I are separated, and he wants a divorce. Can you offer any help or tell me how to pray for guidance?"
I'm very glad this woman likes our program. Gives me great joy to know that it came to her at a time when she needed a spiritual uplift. And of course, we shall be happy to send her and any listener who requests them copies of our radio talks. Now, if the writer happens to be listening at this very moment, I'd like to say this to her. Don't be concerned because you and your husband are of different religious faiths. There is but one God, and if you both reach out to Him with a sincere desire to find peace and comfort, that peace and comfort surely will come. Why don't you meditate and pray to know that divine love guides both of you?
In a few moments, we will tell you about two radio gifts which Dr. Holmes is offering to listeners of this program for one more week. But now, Dr. Holmes brings you his meditation for today.
As I said earlier, there is a power at the very center of your being, and the key that unlocks this power is affirmative prayer. Through affirmative prayer, we learn to clear the mind of doubt and fear. And this we must do if we are to be aware of the presence of God within and around us. Let us then take this as our prayer for today. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Let us all join in affirming God's presence as we listen quietly, joyfully, and with a great sense of peace. Believing that God is the invisible partner in my life, I now affirm that divine love goes before me and prepares my way. I permit myself to be guided. There is something deep within me that knows exactly what I ought to do and how I ought to do it. I am listening to this divine presence and permitting it to direct my path. I not only believe that it can, I know it will. Thoughts and ideas will come to me, and I shall be led to follow them out in my everyday life. I shall be impelled into right action. I shall know how to meet every situation in calm trust and with a complete conviction that divine intelligence is guiding me. I have a deep sense of an inner calm, a complete assurance that all is well. The same intelligence that governs the planets in their course is now acting as a law of good in my personal experience and in the experience of everyone around me. I do thank God for this increase that is mine. I do accept divine guidance. I do believe that I am in silent partnership with all the power, all the presence, and all the love there is. And I place my life entirely and completely under the protection and guidance of this power, and I rest in complete faith that everything I do is prospered.
Open my eyes that I may see fullness of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Last Sunday, we told you about a special New Year's gift which we were offering for 2 weeks only to all listeners to this program. This gift is a copy of Dr. Holmes' 31 Daily Meditations for the entire month of January. These meditations are words of power, prayers of faith and affirmation. Many listeners have already written in to thank Dr. Holmes for making these inspirational thoughts for the first month of the new year available to them. If you have not already sent in your request for this calendar of meditations containing an inspiration for every day in January, may we urge you to act quickly. Remember, this is the final week to secure your copy of these meditations for January. When you send in for them, be sure to ask for your free reprint of Dr. Holmes' message for today, entitled Pray and Prosper. To secure these two radio gifts, just send a penny postcard to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5. Again, we urge you to get your requests in the mail promptly so that you will not be disappointed. That address again is This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5. Dr. Holmes, what are you planning to talk about next week?
I am calling my talk for next week Your Aladdin's Lamp. And of course, I am using the story of Aladdin and his lamp as a symbol. Our lamp is the power in the universe, the one mind, one intelligence, which is available to all of us. And now I wish to thank the many hundreds of you who sent in those wonderful cards and letters during this last week in response to our request on last Sunday's program. It was most gratifying indeed to hear from so many of you. And to those who did not happen to catch last week's broadcast, may I once again say, please write to me personally and tell me how you like these programs. Give me your suggestions as to the topics you would like to have discussed during 1950. Remember this, there is only one way that we can judge your interest and your desire to keep this thing called life on the air. That is by the cards and letters you write us.
In writing to Dr. Holmes, address your cards and letters to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5. And don't forget to send in for Dr. Holmes' 31 meditations for the month of January and your free printed copy of his talk for today entitled Pray and Prosper. Write to This Thing Called Life, Los Angeles 5. Dr. Holmes suggests that you attend regularly the church of your choice. If you have no church affiliations, you are invited to attend the Institute of Religious Science Services in your community. For those in the vicinity of Beverly Hills, Dr. Holmes may be heard every Sunday at 11 o'clock at the Fox Beverly Theater, corner Wilshire and Beverly Drive.
There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it.
This Thing Called Life is brought to you every week at this same time in the interests of greater spiritual understanding by the Institute of Religious Science. Our soloist was William Alvis with Irma Glenn at the organ. Bill Davidson speaking. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.